He walked south across the island alone in the early winter, along townless empty roads. As night came on, it rained, and he said no charm to keep the rain off him, for the weather of Roke was in the hands of the master wind key and might not be tampered with. He took shelter under a great pendic tree, and lying there wrapped in his cloak, he thought of his old master, Ogion, who might still be on his autumn wanderings over the heights of Gaunt, sleeping out with leafless branches for a roof and falling rain for house walls. And that made Ged smile, for he found the thought of Ogion always a comfort to him, and he fell asleep with a peaceful heart, there, in the cold darkness full of the whisper of water. And at dawn, waking, he lifted his head. The rain had ceased. He saw, sheltered in the folds of his cloak, a little animal curled up asleep, which had crept there for warmth. He wondered, seeing it, for it was a rare strange beast, an otak. These creatures are found only on four southern isles of the archipelago, Roke, Ensmer, Poddy, and Wathort. They are small and sleek, with broad faces and fur dark brown or brindle, and great bright eyes. Their teeth are cruel and their temper fierce, so they are not made pets of. They have no call or cry or any voice. Ged stroked this one, and it woke and yawned, showing a small brown tongue and white teeth, but it was not afraid. Otak, he said. And then, remembering the thousand names of beasts he had learned in the tower, he called it by its true name in the old speech. Hoeg, do you want to come with me? The otak sat itself down on his open hand and began to wash its fur. He put it up on his shoulder in the folds of his hood, and there it rode. Sometimes during the day it jumped down and darted off into the woods, but it always came back to him once with a wood mouse it had caught. He laughed and told it to eat the mouse, for he was fasting, this night being the festival of sun return. So he came in the wet dusk past Roke Knoll and saw bright werelights playing in the rain over the roofs of the great house, and he entered there and was welcomed by his masters and companions in the firelit hall. And it was like a homecoming to Ged, who had no home to which he could ever return. He was happy to see so many faces he knew, and happiest to see Vetch come forward to greet him with a wide smile on his dark face. He had missed his friend this year more than he knew. Vetch had been made sorcerer this fall, and was a prentice no more. But that set no barrier between them. They fell to talking at once, and it seemed to Ged that he said more to Vetch in that first hour than he had said during the whole long year at the Isolate Tower. The otak still rode his shoulder, nestling in the fold of his hood as they sat at dinner at long tables set up for the festival in the hearth hall. And Vetch marveled at the little creature, and once put up his hand to stroke it, but the otak snapped its sharp teeth at him, and he laughed. "They say, Sverohawk, that a man favored by a wild beast is a man to whom the old powers of stone and spring will speak in human voice. They say gauntish wizards often keep familiars," said Jasper, who sat on the other side of Vetch. "Our Lord Nemele has his raven, and songs say the Red Mage of Ark led a wild boar on a gold chain. But I never heard of any sorcerer keeping a rat in his hood." At that they all laughed, and Ged laughed with them. It was a merry night, and he was joyful to be there in the warmth and merriment, keeping festival with his companions. But, like all Jasper ever said to him, the jest set his teeth on edge. That night the Lord of O was a guest of the school, himself a sorcerer of renown. He'd been a pupil of the Archmage and returned sometimes to Roke for the winter festival or the long dance in summer, and with him was his lady, slender and young, bright as new copper, her black hair crowned with opals. It was seldom that any woman sat in the halls of the great house, and some of the old masters looked at her sidelong, disapproving, but the young men looked at her with all their eyes.
"For such a one," said Vetch to Ged, "I could work vast enchantments." He sighed and laughed.
"She's only a woman," Ged replied.
"The Princess Alfarin was only a woman," said Vetch, "and for her sake all Enlad was laid waste, and the hero mage of Havnor died, and the island Solea sank beneath the sea."
"Old tales," said Ged.
But then he too began to look at the Lady of O, wondering if, indeed, this was such mortal beauty as the old tales told of. The master chanter had sung the deed of the young king, and all together had sung the winter carol. Now, when there was a little pause before they all rose from the tables, Jasper got up and went to the table nearest the hearth, where the archmage and the guests and master sat, and he spoke to the Lady of O. Jasper was no longer a boy, but a young man, tall and comely, with his cloak clasped at the neck with silver, for he also had been made sorcerer this year, and the silver clasp was the token of it. The lady smiled at what he said, and the opals shone in her black hair, radiant. And then the master's nodding benign consent, Jasper worked an illusion charm for her. A white tree he made spring up from the stone floor. Its branches touched the high roof beams of the hall, and on every twig of every branch a golden apple shone, each a sun, for it was the year tree. A bird flew among the branches, suddenly all white with a tail like a fall of snow, and the golden apples dimming turned to seeds, each one a drop of crystal. And these, falling from the tree with a sound like rain, all at once there came a sweet fragrance, while the tree, swaying, put forth leaves of rosy fire and white flowers like stars. And so the illusion faded. The Lady of O cried out with pleasure and bent her shining head to the young sorcerer in praise of his mastery. "Come with us, live with us in Otokne. Can he not come, my lord?" she asked, childlike of her stern husband. But Jasper said only, "When I have learned skills worthy of my master's here, and worthy of your praise, my lady, then I will gladly come and serve you ever gladly." So he pleased all there, except Ged. Ged joined his voice to the praises, but not his heart. "I could have done better," he said to himself, in bitter envy. And all the joy of the evening was darkened for him after that. Chapter 4 The Loosing of the Shadow. That spring Ged saw little of either Vetch or Jasper, for they being sorcerers studied now with the master patterner in the secrecy of the imminent grove, where no prentice might set foot. Ged stayed in the great house, working with the masters at all